with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by a panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Phil Beverly, Michael Lotus, Christine Svensson, and Chris Baronis. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. Happy Mother's Day to you all. 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it is at Dumo, at D-U-M-O. And again, if you want to join us on the World Wide Web, audio and video, every Sunday night, really all the time, beyondthebeltway.com. If you ever miss the show, it's there. It stays there for many, many months and perhaps even many, many years. Well, this past week, you know, we never run out of things to talk about in this program. And last week, President Trump has given just another blockbuster 2 hours ahead of us to discuss what's going on in the world. But I want to begin with our guests. And we have some Republicans tonight. We have some pro-Trump Republicans, some late-to-the-party Trump Republicans. We have some people that are anti-Trump Republicans. We've got a Democrat. And we have, obviously, the phone callers from around the country. But I'm going to make a point here, and I want to get everybody's reaction to since he has taken office in January, and you almost want to say this during the entire campaign, Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. And to me, the one thing that he never does well, he never tells us why he does something. He may not have a responsibility. You may not think he has a responsibility to tell you why he does things. But he never has a good answer to the question why. Michael Lotus, you're the closest thing to a Trumpster at the table tonight. Do you agree with that?
I think it's right. I think to some extent it's his personality. To some extent it's tactical. You know, it's actually kind of helpful to read his two books, Art of the Deal and Art of the Comeback, to get a kind of feel for the guy. He doesn't want to tell you why he does things. He wants to have as much free play as possible. But, you know, one of these things is this some kind of master strategist, or is he making it up as he goes along, or does he even know? I don't know. And the last thing I'll say is Richard Epstein had a piece the other day, and he said something great about Donald Trump. He was not a Trump supporter. He says, you got to take this guy a la carte. You eat the stuff you like and the other stuff you say no to.
Chris Baronis, you are an anti-Trump Republican. Your response to my opening assessment?
Well, Bruce, it's times like this. I feel like for the last 100-plus days, the journalists, pundits, experts have been struggling to find meaning in the Trump presidency. There's a big difficulty trying to reconcile what's happening. And for me, it goes back to a political cartoon I saw around the time of inauguration. And the frame was the Capitol, and there was a huge King Kong chained up, and there was a crowd all around it. And there was a chat bubble coming out of the crowd. And someone was saying, I'm trying to stay positive about this. This week was utterly shocking, but we should not be surprised that this is what happens when you have a Trump as president. We imported this mysterious, weird creature in an environment he does not belong in. And so I'm not surprised. I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised.
When you say we, you didn't invite him in because you didn't vote for him.
I didn't.
Okay. Christine Svensson, you were not an early Trump supporter. I assume you were there at the end.
I voted for him in the
general
election.
Okay. So what is your reaction to the last week?
None of this is surprising at all.
Are you upset about anything?
Not particularly, no.
Okay.
He had every right to fire James Comey. He should have fired James Comey the day after he got inaugurated. Because James Comey...
Which is what Hillary would have done.
Perhaps. No, James Comey was made so many mistakes that were unacceptable. And the reasons that were given by Michael Pence were actually valid reasons. Now, it's unfortunate that Donald Trump came out after that fact and undermined Mike Pence and indicated that he just fired him because, you know, he wanted to fire him and he would have done it regardless of whatever Rosenstein's recommendation was.
His own communication staff, too.
Philip Beverly is our card-carrying Democrat, shaking your head. Is that with glee, with smile on your face for those listening on radio?
Okay, so the partisan in me is just delighted by the continual screw-ups. The professor in me is horrified by it because it diminishes the office of the president. And that is the hardest job in the world. And this is not a guy who's suited to doing the hardest job in the world.
Let's dissect that. All right. What was it that he did that he didn't have a right to do? He had the right to do it, right? Does everybody agree he had the right to fire the FBI director?
Yes.
So the question, legal authority question. To do it.
He has the authority to do it. So
how he did it.
And leadership. And the why he did it?
And
goes back to my question.
The ever-changing why he did it, because that timeline seems to be a little bit sort of in question. But leadership isn't about you do things because you can. You do them because you should. It's the petulant child who does it because they can.
All right, let's put your partisan Democrat hat on again, and let's ask the question. When James Comey was doing what he was doing when Hillary Clinton was the Democratic nominee for president, were you one of the Democrats who was appalled by his conduct and said that maybe something should happen to him?
I was a little disturbed by it because it seems so out of the ordinary. It's like, what is this all about? That was disturbing to me. But I'm one of those who, unless there's something really egregious, the FBI director has a 10-year term for a reason. And to become politicized like that, give me something
else. There were throngs of Democrats, many of whom were on this program. They wanted his scalp then. Chris Varonis, you were a Republican at that point. But again, this is the number of Democrats who were saying anything nice about James Comey during the 2016 presidential election were few and far between. They thought he was acting irresponsibly in an unprofessional way.
The Democrats do have to eat crow a little bit, but you know what's far more important to me is there is an investigation going on right now about collusion between a president and a foreign power, Russia, of all foreign powers. Yes. That makes my stomach turn.
Do you
that
believe
there's an active investigation going Chris, on, and that's the issue?
Do you believe that the men and women of the FBI are going to stop that investigation?
No.
Look the other way just because they're waiting for their new boss to arrive.
So this is the hilarious thing about the Trump presidency. You said he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You've got his communication staff out there. You've got highly credible people like Mike Pence out there defending him inside of a tinderbox, and he's flicking matches inside of it. Trump's got
this
no one to blame.
Isn't this a management issue? Because you say
Trump doesn't want to be second guessed.
That's right.
But this crisis is being perpetuated by Donald Trump.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that, Mike.
What? I'm not sure what the question is, but
I'll answer something.
Well, sure. He certainly had authority to fire Comey. I agree with Christine. He should have fired him earlier. Comey, the FBI is supposed to do investigations and then recommend action.
But poorly managed. It's poorly managed.
Because
the point is, if you have the paperwork, even though in my view the paperwork was not believed, the Rosenstein memo was not believed, the point is it was there. It was part of the story, the narrative that was being told, and then the president stepped on his own line. We've got a break. 1-800-723-8029. Back shortly from Chicago.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us. 1-800-723-8029. We were talking before the break about the reaction of Democrats to Director Comey during the presidential campaign. And last July, that was when the story broke about James Comey with his famous press conference and the decision that Hillary Clinton was not going to be indicted, a decision that he announced. We had Patrick Cotter as a guest on this program. He's a guest on the show for a number of years. He's a former assistant United States attorney from Brooklyn. And we asked him about what James Comey had done and a reaction to the press conference and to some of the things that James Comey had to say then. And he is a Democrat, and this was his response.
I think the first thing needs to be said is it's extremely unique. I've never heard of something like this in my life. First of all, the FBI doesn't decide who gets charged with a crime. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors do. Second of all, when you don't charge somebody with a crime, as I mentioned earlier in a different context, it is against the rules to come out and make statements about them because, of course, there's never any chance for them to rebut them or fight them. You're supposed to say either I'm charging you and here's the indictment and we'll have a trial and you will see if it's true or not, or you say I'm not indicting you, goodbye. As a matter of fact, usually they don't even tell us when they don't indict us. It's just they never call you back. And then you wait 5 years and the statute of limitations runs and it's over. So it was an extraordinary event.
So last year, Democrats were infuriated with Comey. Republicans were not happy with him either because he had this press conference where he laid out all this dirt on Hillary Clinton and then said, oh, by the way, we're not going to indict her. So that infuriated both sides. And then there's the ongoing testimony. So, again, I think the point that Donald Trump wanted to get rid of him makes complete sense. What's a little incredulous was the first wave, the first narrative that came out when he talked about, you know, the memos from the attorney general and the deputy attorney general, in which he said that it was because of the horrible treatment of Hillary Clinton or the unprofessional treatment of Hillary Clinton. That's the reason why he acted, or that was the recommendation that was acted. And as Michael said in the first segment, that was the story until Donald Trump stepped on his own story. But let me ask this question. If everyone had been given just the first part of that story, and that was the narrative, what Rosenstein and Sessions had said, that wasn't a believable reason to fire him, was it? Would anybody have believed that? That he was so upset with his treatment of James Comey that that's why he decided
Hillary.
Hillary, rather. That he was so upset that
ridiculous.
He would have.
Absolutely not.
Not believable.
Okay. On its face.
So the question is, I'm just speculating now, whether Trump's, by the way, in that letter, it was also very self-serving for the president to say, you reminded me on three times that, you know, that I'm not under investigation. Yeah. That certainly yeah. was
I'm not a crook.
It was a non sequitur in that note that he sent to Comey firing him. So that was unbelievable. And I think everybody at this table believes that was an unbelievable reason to give. So I'm thinking that story is out there for a couple of days. And then Trump goes on television, and he gives a different answer. He says, no, I wasn't waiting for that. I was going to fire him anyway.
And it's because of Russia.
He said the Russian investigation.
This Russia thing is going on.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The question is, was that an attempt by the president to clean up a mess that he believed had been committed by his staff and he had fallen into it?
Who knows? Who can plumb what the rationale was of why this whole presentation was handled as badly as it was? It's impossible. Okay. There's a couple of questions. Was it legally he was authorized? He could fire Comey. Should Comey have been fired? Comey, as your guest, previous guest said, kept injecting himself into the public sphere. Right. The FBI is supposed to report confidentially to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice decides whether to prosecute people or not. We don't have FBI press conferences. So Comey should have been fired. Should have been fired.
So the president referring to Comey as a showboat and a grandstander, that really is a fairly good assessment
of
Comey.
He happened to be right about that. Yes.
Yeah. With the exception of FBI, FBI directors are neither.
The ad hominem attack on him is pretty unnecessary, and it seems to be
on the president.
No, on from the president to
most
Comey.
Of the attacks are on the president.
It seems like, isn't that just if he had any sort of reflection more about him?
Well,
no, but do you believe that Comey? Do you believe that Comey is or was a showboat or a grandstander in the way he dealt with Hillary Clinton last year?
People who know Comey say he's a man of integrity, very buttoned up, like a career public servant.
He
Department
used
of Justice.
To be.
Do you
I'm
think
I'm going to disagree with that?
But then what happened?
Chris, do you think
it's a mixed bag?
It's
a mixed bag. I think it was unprecedented, unorthodox to do what he did, mm-hmm. especially in the run-up to the election on October 31st or October 30th, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also highly bizarre for a president who appointed mm-hmm. Loretta Lynch, who made her career, to spend an hour with her on the airplane.
It's
a mixed bag, and you may not be able to excuse what he did, but you could certainly explain.
But
what
when
Comey
you
did.
Say you quote his friends, and by the way, we all heard that. One of the stories that was going through all the circles, it was certainly going on at the Republican convention. Everybody was talking about how Donald Trump was doing in the primaries and how Hillary was doing in the primaries, and political operatives. You all heard it. They all said, "Well, we're really waiting for the Comey primary." I mean, everybody was waiting for some shoe to fall for Comey, and then he engaged himself into the campaign. But my question, you described his friends describing him as professional and buttoned up. When you watched his testimony last week, when he talked about how nauseous I was, did you think that came across as a professional, buttoned up guy?
How I took that is he was genuinely concerned, bothered, unsettled, that his actions could have impacted the election. Because as an independent agency, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to enforce the law. And, of course, Donald Trump took it as, my presence makes people want to vomit. And so that supposedly
you don't
had an axe to grind. We're speculating, right?
What did that tell you about James Comey?
It told us everything we ever needed. We knew all that. I mean, James Comey had an impeccable reputation 5 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago. But as an FBI director, he was an abject failure. And it all started with that July press conference, and it all went downhill after that. He purposefully and intentionally subjected and injected himself into the political arena where he had no business being.
You're saying the July press conference makes him an abject failure?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. As an FBI director, there was no reason on earth for him to call a press conference to explain the evidence that he had, regardless of whether or not he was going to recommend an indictment.
So, Christine, let me ask you a question then. So if in that July press conference, the next week, President Obama fires him for injecting himself into that, then I'm going to hear from your side, cover up. They're trying to silence him. He must have something on Hillary. It's sort of a no-win situation, right?
But Obama could have done it.
So what? That doesn't matter. The point is the FBI is supposed to conduct investigations and advise the Justice Department to prosecute or not. What he should have done is called the AG, said, I'm sending you an email with our attached report. We are advising against a prosecution. There was no reason for the public to have anything to do with that. There was
he's
no
made
excuse
himself
for
the
it.
De facto that, U.S. But, Attorney yeah. General.
Here's another political question here. With all of the media, this is a great story for the media and a great story for the Democrats. They're in bed on this issue. They bring up the relations, the firing. They call it the Saturday Night Massacre. There was one guy fired. I mean, all the conversations about Nixon and Watergate and all that other stuff. Then here's the president stepping on his own line again. Why does he come up and use the word tapes? There's no word when you say tapes.
Absolutely.
In American political life,
everybody
goes back to Nixon.
Every prosecutor's warming up their subpoena pen right now. Soon as that tweet
But why do you do that?
It shows how undisciplined he is. But by the way, the Democrats comparing this to Watergate, I mean, that's a real stretch.
Yes,
Archibald
true.
Cox, I mean, he actually had a subpoena for the tapes. I mean, he was going to get The crime had already been committed, and he was just seeking to get the evidence.
The crime.
There was a crime. There is no – James Comey himself has said there is no evidence of any relationship between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
Right.
Let me ask this question. So has James Clapper, the former head of DNI. Now, here's something else that James Clapper said on CNN today. He was talking about our institutions. He said, "The developments of the past week are very bothersome and very disturbing to me. I think in many ways our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is Russian interference in our election system, and I think as well under attack internally." And when Jake Tapper asked him, "Does that you mean the president?" Clapper said, "Yes." So now we have – Clapper is another one of these guys like Comey. Sometimes the Republicans are applauding what he says. Sometimes the Democrats are applauding what he says.
I don't agree with you. I think he's a partisan hack. Mm-hmm. James Clapper? Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, he's been out to get the Republicans from the get-go. And there is absolutely no evidence that the that the Russians interfered with our election system. They got emails from John Podesta. That's it.
Clapper said that up until the time he left, up until the time he was fired by President Trump, he basically had said that he had not seen any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. He said that. But again, where does everybody... Now, by the way, this is the guy who lied under oath to Congress. I don't believe one... Regardless what side he's on, I don't believe one word James Clapper ever utters. Back shortly from Chicago.
Hey, everybody. This is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We'll turn to calls in a little while, but obviously one of the questions that the president has to deal with right now is who is going to replace James Comey as the head of the FBI, the director. And there's already a lot of names that are being floated around, including a couple of members of Congress, John Cornyn, the senior senator from the state of Texas, Mike Rogers, former congressman from Michigan, as well as the current McCabe, who's currently the deputy attorney general. He was testifying last week. He's the one that said that the investigation will go on, and also he pledged that he would let. He said also, very important, there had been no request by Comey for more resources to work the investigation. That was a story that was out there. The Democrats mentioned it, the media mentioned it, but he said there had been no such request. And also he's the one that said that he would report back to that committee if there was any evidence that somebody tried to squash an indictment or interfere with the investigation in any way. So that's the current guy. One of the black marks against him is that his wife ran for elective office in the state of Virginia as a Democrat and had some fundraising done by Terry McAuliffe. So, again, there are some Republicans that might feel, although he's a career FBI guy, they might be a little bit concerned about it. And by the way, I just want to say something because I've said it in the past on this program. When Donald Trump was elected and they were looking to fill the cabinet, I made a very strong case that I thought the director of the Central Intelligence Agency should be Mike Rogers, who is a longtime congressman from Michigan, a moderate Republican, a former FBI agent, mm-hmm. and also one who was the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He's a brilliant guy. For some reason, his name was floated in the early days, actually early weeks, when they were looking to fill the cabinet. And then for some reason, it was reported that he took his name out of consideration.
He was fired. He was part of the Chris Christie transition team, so he got cut out just like everyone else did.
That's not the way I recall it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he went his separate ways, and now his name is coming back, and supposedly he still has some friends in the West Wing, although those friends may not be there much longer, who are supporting him. But again, I throw that out. I've met him. I know him. I think he would be a brilliant head of the FBI. But again, he was also the FBI Directors Association made a recommendation that they would support him. They made a statement yesterday that they would support him as the new director of the FBI. However, I think a better idea that has been promoted by the conservative Senator Mike Lee of Utah. He has suggested, what about Merrick Garland? Here's the guy that all the Democrats wanted.
Yeah, he finally gets a vote, huh? Wow, that's funny.
Let's just talk about the politics of this. First of all, he's from Chicago. He was appointed to be on the Supreme Court by Barack Obama. Every Democrat in the Senate was singing his praises for months. He never got a vote. People are upset that he didn't get a vote. And I'm saying from a political standpoint, Donald Trump is in a position to say, okay, we had all the Democrats clamoring to get rid of Comey, and I got rid of Comey. And then I selected a bipartisan guy that everybody praised to now be the head of the FBI. So I want a complete free investigation. I'm going to be hands-off on it. And why would Merrick Garland not be appointed? Why wouldn't he get 100 votes? How can any Democrat stand up today and say, well, we have to think about this Merrick Garland thing? It would show the Democrats for the absolute hypocrites.
Of course they would vote for him. Wasn't Democrats not voting for him. It was he never got a chance.
He wouldn't take it.
That's Mitch McConnell.
But here's what, by the way, Mitch McConnell's former chief of staff, who made an appearance on one of the Sunday shows today, said that he had spoken with Mitch McConnell prior to his appearance and that Mitch McConnell had said that he would support Merrick Garland for the FBI director.
What a stand-up guy you are.
But look at it politically.
Right.
Doesn't that send the signal that the president is willing to be bipartisan, put in a guy there that everybody loves, let him do his job? The president says he wants hands off, he wants to get this thing done.
To put in a guy that he can fire at will,
anybody,
unlike a
fire.
Supreme Court justice
anybody.
Who he can't fire.
Anybody.
So it's sort of,
Wait a minute. Wait.
I'm sure Trump wants him in there.
And I don't think that Trump wants him in there.
Let's ask the Republicans here.
There's another piece of the puzzle. The Democrat, Garland won't do it. He's not going to give up a life tenure position for one. He can be fired by Trump. Second, he's not going to create an open seat on the D.C. Court of Appeals, which has, I think, a 7-3 Democrat majority now. It's the second most important court in the country after the U.S. Supreme Court. And to let Trump pick a new seat there where they've got a guy who's going to be there for 30 more years if he stays healthy. There's that element to it. I got to think Mike Lee was being a little bit Machiavellian when he proposed that, because that would be something he'd like to do.
Well, and the other thing that we're ignoring is, I mean, it all sounds great. You know, Merrick Garland, you know, the former, you know, Democrat nominee or would-be Democrat nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. But he's been a judge for so long. What sort of management skills would he have? I mean, how would his skills apply to being FBI director? I don't really see that.
A lot of the other people are judges, too. A lot of the other people
are judges. A lot of them aren't, though. I mean, Alice Fisher runs a big law firm. To me, you would have to have management skills.
What about a woman? That would be another. There's also a Hispanic in there as well.
Well, okay,
Hispanic, and there's a woman in there.
Now you're touching on one of my issues. I don't care who it is. I don't care if you're black, white, female, male, whatever. I want the best person to do that job.
Could it be a woman?
If there's who's the senior woman in the FBI? I think it should be an insider. I think just for the confidence of the agency, the way all of this went down, because it can be perceived that, like the attack on the intelligence community that Trump launched some months ago, now there's an attack on law enforcement. You got to shore up the support and keep the morale up.
Why would you view that as an elaborate? Why would you think that would be an assault on law enforcement?
because the narrative was inconsistent. And until we get a clear understanding of why this guy was let go, it just can take on the appearance that this was to shut down an ongoing investigation.
This is where your perception can be reality, okay? Especially when the Democrats have one narrative and the members of the media pick up the exact same narrative. Here's my point. We had the deputy director last week say that the investigation is going to go on. I asked everybody at this table, does anybody believe there are people in the FBI that will turn over and lay dead and not aggressively pursue this investigation? I think there's people that will do it. And by the way, just as I thought the same thing with those that were upset with the decision that Comey made, are you telling me that every investigator in the FBI liked the idea of Comey having a press conference and then announcing he wasn't going to pursue an indictment against Hillary Clinton?
No.
Did everybody like that?
No. The way Trump can clear the air on this is appoint an indisputably competent, qualified new FBI director. Then he's going to have to, that person, he or she, is going to be examined to be voted in, and that person's going to get grilled, and you need to pick someone who can withstand the scrutiny. And one of the questions they're going to be asked is, are you going to continue the investigation? The answer is going to be something like, we are going to continue every investigation that's underway now.
But who's not going to say that?
Nobody. But
that's my point. So how are you going to – the point is, it seems to me that what – the president needs now is get this nomination done quickly. And I'm saying is you gave extenuating circumstances for Garland. I'm just saying is a Democrat, I would love to see a Democrat get up there and be mealy-mouthed about somehow that Merrick Garland, we wanted him on the Supreme Court, but he's not good enough to be the director of the FBI. He was Mr. Integrity.
Integrity's not enough. Right. You have to understand how the FBI works. And being a judge, you're getting the finished product from the agency. You don't necessarily understand the corporate culture or the day-to-day, the operational environment.
Leadership skills.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why McCabe's got the advantage here. He is a lifelong FBI
exactly.
man. But to your point, Rogers also has an advantage. He's well-liked by the FBI.
Yes, he is. Rogers is the
guy. He also has political credentials, too. And so say what you will about Comey, showboat, overstepped his boundaries, tried to do the right thing, all the above, which I think I'm in that camp, all the above. He was well-liked within the FBI. He visited all of the field agencies. McCabe said so in his testimony. Very, very well-liked. You've got FBI agents changing their Facebook photos to Comey, okay? And so there are axes to grind within the FBI. Probably this investigation is emboldened. Trump emboldened the investigation against him.
Right. So the question is, no matter who he picks – the investigation is going to go on.
Without question. Only thing that could happen is it could be delayed. That's it. There's attorney general guidelines that specify a course of action in an investigation like this. So it's out of anyone's hands. You follow the rules. The only thing that could happen is funding could go elsewhere to terrorism activities, to drug cartels, to cyber. That's the only thing that could happen.
Everything that happens with this investigation will be monitored by the press, and people will be leaking the details perpetually.
Leaks will never be out of the headlines until they finally issue whatever report they issue. By the way, because
leaks are an integral part of the integrity of the FBI. I mean, let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. When we talk about the FBI, the media holds them in this... on this pedestal, okay?
Yeah.
And 99% of them are doing a great job. But you know what? Let's remember that the founder of the FBI wanted to use derogatory information about Martin Luther King so that Martin Luther King would commit suicide. That is the name that's on the building of the FBI in Washington, J. Edgar Hoover. So let's not talk about integrity.
I'm not going to defend J. Edgar Hoover,
synonymous, in my opinion, with the FBI. Yeah. Back shortly from Chicago.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Mr. Veronis, I want you to clean up what you said during the break. But it's important because
I think
a lot of people.
It's not easy this week. It's a lot of cleanup.
You just have to change one word.
Okay.
But I think what you said is something that a lot of people agree with. Go ahead. Say it. You were talking about the President of the United States and what – say it.
Doesn't.
So Michael –
doesn't give a
– That's right.
Hoot.
So Michael made the point, one of the most underreported and significant stories since the inauguration is that something about a fourth of the administration – and this is sort of mid-level to senior-level positions that are appointed by the president – are unfilled.
Well, more than a fourth.
Right. It could be close to a third. And so that is horrific to know that the administration, the federal government's pretty much on autopilot and decisions aren't being made. And, you know, there's a big part of me who believes watching Trump obsessed with, you know, most people say after a speech, how did I sound? What Trump says is, how did I look?
Yep.
And so a big part of me believes that Trump just doesn't give fill in the blank. He doesn't care about that. These are details that are beneath him. And I also said during the break that Michael wouldn't like it.
Well,
and
it's not a matter of what I like. It's a matter of trying to figure out what motivates this guy. Who knows? But for whatever reason, the people
Donald
in charge
Trump
of doing,
is what motivates
the people
Donald
in
Trump,
charge of doing
period.
The hiring for his administration have failed to staff many important positions.
Who is that on, Michael? Who is that on?
I'll get the name on a break.
No. It's on him.
Donald Trump.
It's on the president.
It's on Donald
if the
Trump.
Guy's not doing his job,
he's
and
the
he
chief
works
executive.
For him, fire him.
Yes. No, I don't. No dispute. But that is a problem that's spilling into all the other issues this guy seems to have. I don't know why he's not cleaning it up. I don't know why he doesn't have a process in place to fill those positions.
Now, we've got some more names to talk about because according to some published reports today, the president is considering, again, this is a D.C.-based rumor at the moment. But again, the president is supposedly thinking of firing four members of his staff.
Right.
He's thinking, again, allegedly
no surprise there.
Thinking firing Bannon. Bannon, by the way, opposed the firing of Comey, at least the timing of it. Rance Priebus, the chief of staff, who a couple of weeks ago on this program, someone said would be gone in a month, so maybe they knew something. Sean Spicer has become a laughingstock of the administration. And Don McGahn. He is the lawyer, the counsel for the president, who allegedly had conversations, received information about Michael Flynn. So the question is, can you fire... With all the problems of personnel, how realistic is it that you can fire your top four guys?
If that story's true, it would probably be a big mistake to do it that way. Bannon is somebody who some of his core supporters think is very important. I don't know who he's going to replace these people with, what with his daughter and his son-in-law.
Does Jarrett have too much power? Does Jarrett have too much power?
Absolutely. I find them to be – I mean, I'm not huge fans of the kids.
They shouldn't be there.
They really shouldn't. I think it's too incestuous. I'm very troubled by the whole thing. But I knew as soon as Rance Priebus took that office, I said, I give him 3 months. There is no way that Donald Trump, he loves to fire people. That's what he does. He wants a rotating farm system.
That's what made him famous.
Christine, right. I think the problem is more malignant than Trump likes to fire people. Trump doesn't want to listen to anyone but himself.
Exactly. Right.
That is the problem. He's so petty and self-absorbed that, you know, you say he's his own worst enemy. The press office got the heads up about the firing of Comey 1 hour before it was to happen, and they were left on their own to figure out the message. The only people that were involved, Priebus wasn't involved, Bannon wasn't involved, McGahn, Pence, Trump, and a fourth person who I can't remember wrote the talking points about Comey. It was a disaster, and then Trump made it disaster times two when he did that interview.
Philip?
I think he can fire whoever he wants. I'm more concerned who he replaces them with, especially Priebus. The chief of staff to the president of the United States is the most important job in the West Wing. It just is. And he better get somebody who can really do that job.
But firing is essentially a distraction because all presidents do this. All presidents saying, my message is not getting out.
Right.
New spokesman. Management is not working. New chief of staff. This happens all the time. This is just happening earlier than it would with most presidents at the end of the year.
What do you think of the communication skills of Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
I don't think they're very impressive. I don't think she did a great job at all. I think she needs to go. Spicer, too. So that was a weak spot for him, the press secretary spot. I'm not sure Kimberly Guilfoyle is going to be any better, but they need a top-notch, like more like a Dana Perino type in there.
I don't disagree, but these guys are also kept in the dark. It's impossible to do your job
if you're not getting the information.
Access to the president.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're in a double bind. I don't wish them... I wouldn't want the job.
So are you suggesting that Sean Spicer may be a sympathetic figure before it's all over?
No, not at all.
He won't be sympathetic.
not at all.
He'll be unemployed.
I'm amazed, by the way, the other thing, and we'll talk more about it in the next hour, but the president has hinted that he may do away with daily briefings, press briefings. Is that a good idea, Michael, at this moment?
One of his themes has been his hostility to the traditional news media, and his core supporters really like that. I don't know that doing that now is going to help him particularly. I don't know if it's going to help him reach into the middle. So it's probably not a play he wants to do right now.
I think that would be an unfortunate mistake. I think there's no reason to do that. I understand his reasons for doing that, but no, you have to keep open access to the press. I don't care that he doesn't like them. That's his problem.
What if he replaced that with a once a month or a once a week press conference, and also every week he showed up on one of the network news.
That's not sufficient to me as an American citizen.
You need to get constant information from the White House.
We have a right to know.
We need to know what's going on.
I don't think the people that voted for Trump agree with that, but go ahead.
But 9 million more people voted against him, so the majority of people do want to know.
You want Trump to dig the hole further, like down to the Earth's core, it sounds like, to have a press conference every other week.
I think Donald Trump is a better spokesman for himself than some of the other people that are out there. Back shortly from Chicago.
Well, then.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich, no. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
experience more history at museum.tv.
Hey, everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. We continue with our guests this evening, Philip Beverly, Michael Lotus, Christine Svensson, and Chris Peronis. And we've got callers on the line. Let's go to Tom listening to us on WKBN in Youngstown, Ohio. Go ahead, Tom.
Good evening, Bruce, and to your guest. First of all, Bruce, I tend to think that there should be the elimination or at least put on hold of the press secretary position. Have written press releases only, and then if they need clarification, then go on either Republican-friendly TV radio programs, or the other possibility would be for Trump to have radio addresses similar to what Reagan did. Because no matter what Trump does in terms of having a press secretary represent him, the media is going to spin it anyway. So I think that that's just the woman who said that, well, we have a right to know. Well, we have the right to know the truth, not the spin that's put on the topic by certain media.
If he ended the press briefings, obviously the media would go, they would just go absolutely apoplectic, even if he said that he would appear for a weekly press conference nationally televised. I don't think they would be satisfied with that, although they are highly entertaining. I think the ratings would be good, which would be, he would like to know that. And also, I think that there would be more news coming out of those things.
Well, the only point I'm getting at is maybe it would put more discipline into what are supposed to be reporters reporting rather than commentating, being commentators. The other thing I would point out to make, Bruce, Chuck Schumer, regardless of who the FBI director ends up being, is going to be saying, well, we didn't get a special prosecutor, therefore there's something wrong with the results. So I think the best thing that Trump and the Republicans could do would call his bluff and say, okay, we'll have two special prosecutors, one looking into Trump and the Russians, and the other one looking into was there an illegal and coordinated effort to undermine the Trump administration by members of the Obama administration. And I'd even take that further. You know, the person who mentioned at the beginning of the show there was a serious coordination or collusion with a foreign nation. That's why we need to look into Trump and the Russians. Well, what about Hillary and her 20% uranium deal to the Russians? What about Hillary and her pay for access? What about that whole one-sided nuclear deal that we had with Iran?
Well, no, I think there's other. I thought you were going to say that there should be another investigation into Hillary Clinton. I thought that's where you were going to go.
Well, really, what I'm
saying,
a lot of people would
like that, but I don't think that's a good idea. I think, by the way, the answer to the question about, because the Democrats, obviously, they're saying they're on record as saying that they may hold up confirmation of the new FBI director until and unless there is a special prosecutor named. Hmm. Well, the name that I think would stop that movement would be Merrick Garland. If they said Merrick Garland is going to be the new FBI director, I think that would frankly cause – that would call the Democrats bluff, and I think they would back away from the call of a special prosecutor. And where do you come down on a special – how strong do you feel, Phil, that there needs to be a special prosecutor in this case?
I'd like to keep the option open, but I'd rather see Congress do its job first. Give the Senate Intelligence Committee, for example – the opportunity to do its job and not have some expectation that it needs to be done by this Friday. Sometimes things take time.
And moreover, it's important, until you have a crime identified, you don't want to have a special prosecutor. You can't have a special prosecutor without a crime to investigate.
Like there was in Watergate.
In the Nixon case. This isn't there. Hopefully never will be.
You said during the break, Chris, you said that you think that where this could head is an impeachment of the president by House Republicans. Elaborate why and how you think that evolves.
Not by House Republicans. I'm saying if this week is a harbinger of what's to come for the rest of this year, if it trends south for the Republicans, if the Democrats pick up 23 seats, which is not inconceivable, then I'm saying you're going to see a locomotive going forward for impeachment, and that's going to be driven by Nancy Pelosi. Part of me does believe too that inside most Republicans in leadership in Congress, there is a respect for the rule of law. And the two times that we've had impeachment inquiries, the two out of three, you could actually say the three times going back to Andrew Johnson, you've had Republicans who pointed to the rule of law as the justification to what they did. Even with Richard Nixon, he would have survived removal from the Senate, but for Barry Goldwater saying, you have no support in the Senate, he knew he had to resign. So I'm saying, if things get bad, if there is a smoking gun somewhere, I think Republicans will step up.
Is there anybody at this table that would like to put on and share with the audience any evidence that you are aware of that President Trump has violated the law involving what he's done as President of the United States? In any law? Has he violated any law?
I'm waiting for someone to tell me what he's done that's unlawful. I'm waiting for someone to explain what unlawful thing the guy's done. I'm not seeing it.
We don't have any evidence of that yet.
If there's anyone listening to the program that would like to answer that question, is there any illegal activity that Donald Trump has engaged in since he has become President of the United States? 1-800-723-8289. Let's move on to Greg listening to us in Maryville, Indiana. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, that was Maryville, Tennessee.
I'm sorry. WOKI, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What I was wanting to comment about, you were discussing earlier, the situation where Comey gave the press release basically saying why the FBI was not pursuing charges against Hillary Clinton and how unusual that was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from an investigator standpoint, usually what happens is when a federal agency concludes their investigation, they present that investigation to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the U.S. Attorney's Office makes the decision whether or not to prosecute the case. And Comey didn't do that. And I think, for me, what an obvious reason is that someone did not want that case to make it to a federal grand jury, because the grand jury doesn't determine guilt or innocence. All it determines is probable cause. And if Hillary's case had made it to a federal grand jury, there is a degree of likelihood, whether it's high or low, whether or not that case would have made it, whether or not the grand jury would have returned a true bill.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, then she would be indicted. And I think someone somewhere did not want her case making it to a federal grand jury, because if she's indicted, then she's officially under federal investigation at that time. So that's the point I wanted to make.
Okay.
Okay.
30 seconds.
She wasn't going to be indicted because Comey recommended against indicting her. That didn't have to be done in public. With that in her pocket, Attorney General would have just said, well, we've got advice to not do it and we're not going to indict. That would have been it. It wouldn't have been a grand jury.
Okay.
The press conference made it a big deal. Back shortly from Chicago.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us. And our phone number is 1-800-723-8289. Again, this is an open invitation to anyone listening to the program. If there's anyone that wants to share with the audience a law that Donald Trump has broken since he's become president of the United States, call in, because we've had some suggestions, flirtations that maybe there should be impeachment on the horizon. And again, we're getting way ahead of the game in some of our conversations. I want to get back to, you know, what happens next, and what can we do to be better served by the national news media, if that's possible. You're cringing. You don't think we can do that. But I'm just saying is, when I watch a program, and I watch the Sunday morning shows, as many of you do, I'm amazed at how many questions are premised by a Democratic narrative or talking point.
Yeah.
And everything that a Democrat says, it's like a good example is, well, you know, the president demanded James Comey a loyalty oath when they had dinner. Now, the Democrats have suggested that. The media has suggested that. Donald Trump said the other day that he didn't suggest that. So we're at a point now where the Democrats and the media say one thing, Donald Trump says the other. And the question is, who are we going to believe? And are we only going to believe people who we support politically? So because it seems to me it's taken as a foregone conclusion that Donald Trump asked Comey for loyalty. Trump denies that. And yet it's used as a preface to all kinds of questions. Or the question about, you know, we know that the Russians, you know, colluded in this election, and they tried to disrupt our institution. What they did is, we all know there was a Russian attempt to get information on the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans kept their secrets closer to the vest. The Democrats of the DNC did not. There was a hack into that. We still don't know where that hack came from. Intelligence people think that the Russians were involved in some way, whether it was directly or through Julian Assange, yeah. Wherever it was. Derogatory information or information that should have not been made public was made public by the leaders of the Democratic Hillary Clinton campaign, and that was embarrassing to them. And we are now saying that because of that, the entire institutions have been disrupted. And yet, since the election has happened, what is the party that constantly is focusing on just that issue? It is the Democrats who cannot understand why they lost an election. It's the only thing they have to, I mean, they are collectively, it's the only thing they have to talk about is that Donald Trump is an illegitimate president because of alleged collusion. Even though thus far, all the people who have investigated said there has been no collusion between Donald Trump and the Russians. None. There's no evidence at all. If there was, we'd be all over it. So everything that's going on now is, you know, is about this, about the phishing investigation. We're talking about, we have the deputy director of the FBI who has said that the investigation is going to go forward. I think we believe there's people in the FBI who can go, they can move this case forward. And if the chips fall, at the president's feet, so be it. That's where they will fall. But all this other stuff, in my view, it's all just political. It's all political for the benefit of the Democrats, because they see an issue. The more they can talk about this, the less time they can talk about other issues that the American people would like to have discussed.
But these are the issues that they need to talk about. I mean, Michael Flynn is not the National Security Advisor.
He's fired.
Because
Donald Trump fired him.
He was fired by Donald Trump because about
money
from
the thing is,
thank
we don't
you.
Really
but
know.
He did it.
We don't have the transcripts.
He said he did it. Bruce just said he did it.
I don't care what he said.
What I'm talking about is Donald Trump got the information and he fired the guy. He fired him. Now, again, as I said at the very beginning of the show, one of the problems with President Trump is he doesn't have a clear reason why he does things or does not communicate to the public in a clear way why he fired him. But he received evidence that Michael Flynn should go, and he went. He received information and believed from a long time that James Comey should go, so he went.
Right.
He's not hanging on.
To the maximum extent possible, everything that pertains to this that can possibly be released should be released. For example, the transcripts of everything Flynn said, we know it was obtained by the NSA. We don't know how, but you asked the question, who, what was said, when, publish it.
Well,
get
but,
everything
but Michael,
that
but
possible.
It's still,
hold
it's
on,
still an ongoing investigation,
yeah,
so
you
can't
have to
publish
the case.
You have to build
no,
a case.
No, you don't. If
yes,
you're going to do a criminal
do.
Prosecution, you have to build a case. If you're going to spend
How do you know that that's not part of the investigation?
I want
we
the American
know.
People to know what we yeah. every single
and,
thing
and,
we can possibly know
about
this.
You know what I would say? The worst possible outcome is you preempt the investigators.
No, it's wrong, though.
And the people aren't held accountable.
Events that already occurred are evidence.
What?
Okay? And to the extent they weren't obtained by some means that if we
and
disclose
I would
it,
say let the investigators do their
no,
job.
No, I say let the American people know
no,
what
they
really happened.
They have to
happened.
Build a case.
No, they don't. They have to – what we need to do is the government of this country has to puke out this information so the voters and the voting public can see what really happened.
Now, by the way, let's remember something. Back in Watergate days in the 70s, 72, 74, the American people didn't care much about Watergate. It was the Washington Press Corps, and to a lesser extent, the Democrats. It was more of media and the Democrats. They had their fangs into Richard Nixon, and they were not going to let him go. And so we should not, if you are a conservative, you should not feel comfortable that this is not important to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that it's only the Washington, D.C. people and the Democrats that are working on it. Because there is a history. They are like pit bulls. They will not let this go. By the way, the Watergate investigation is one of the all-time great moments in the history of American journalism. They love that. They were important. They made important things happy. Right now, many in American journalism feel like eunuchs. They feel that the new social media is taking their jobs away, and they're not as influential as they were. A good example is we tried like hell to end Donald Trump's presidency before it even started, and it didn't work.
Not yet.
So they're feeling that – just a moment. They're feeling that their power has – that they're under attack. So the media is under attack. The last time they felt great was – Watergate. That's why the allusions to Watergate. Watergate was a great white flag for them. That's why so many people, young people, went into investigative journalism because of Watergate. But right now you have a situation where the media is so one-sided. So in my view, so dishonest in putting into a motivation anything that a Democrat said is taken as gospel.
So there's
if Donald
two issues.
Trump says it or a Republican says it, it's questioned. That's not fair.
There's two issues that you have to separate, and you can't conjoin them. One is, well, one is it's not a shocker to say that the national news media is stocked with liberal elites. That's the way it's always been. And I believe that, I mean, if you watch CNN and MSNBC, it is stomach-churning to see the shilling that's happening. But I think, and no offense, Phil,
and Fox isn't the same thing. Are you kidding me? Fox is guilty of that, too. That's right.
But I agree with that.
Here's an important point. I think a lot of the people, the personas, the national news media, they're an extension of the New York elite in that they never understood Donald Trump. They reject him. They find him morally reprehensible. And they think
they're offended by it.
They're offended by him, and they think it's on them to dispense sort of this cosmic justice. And when these news events happened, it's a feeding frenzy. So that's one issue, and you're right. But there's another issue, and you touched on it too. When you see the astounding, breathtaking incompetence in the White House that happened this week, that is news. Americans need to know the news. They need to know that potentially a president is wiretaping people in the Oval Office, which is illegal. They need to know. They need to know that a guy who was heading up an investigation of possible Russian collusion was fired, at which Trump admitted later. That is legitimate news. It should be reported. It's unfortunate.
It's a cartoonish environment. They should also know, and I think we've discussed it on this program, and it came out when McCabe was before the Congressional Committee last week. They should also know that just because you fire the head of the FBI, it doesn't mean that the other people in the FBI are going to roll over and play dead for an investigation. To me, that is an insult of everybody that works for the FBI. You're saying that they're all hacks.
No, I don't think that's the case. By the way, let's remember one thing. When it comes to Watergate,
let's talk about Watergate, and let's talk about where did all – what was happening during Watergate? Where were Woodward and Bernstein? Where were their sources coming from?
The sources
were coming from inside the FBI. Deep Throat was the number two guy at the FBI, Mark Felt. Mm-hmm. He was the guy. So you have an investigative agency that is leaking information then and maybe now. Maybe that's what the comment about tapes was all about. People in the FBI leaking information because every time in 1974 when it looked like Richard Nixon was about to turn the corner, there'd be another shoe to fall. And those footprints always came from the FBI. So I think what I would suggest to the president, he's picked a fight with the Central Intelligence Agency. He's picked a fight now with the FBI. If
he's
you pick
lose
a fight
it.
With
Bad
people
fights.
Who have all the secrets, you're making your life miserable, and it may not come to a happy ending for you. And I'm sure that Donald Trump likes a happy ending. Back shortly.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Back.
Okay.
And we thank you very much for joining us. Michael, we were talking about the FBI, the integrity of the FBI, whether or not there are White House tapes. What would your reaction be if it turned out there is a White House taping system?
I can't even conceive that he would do something that foolish, but I don't know. It's probably illegal. In Illinois, we have an eavesdropping statute. You have to tell people they're being recorded. I don't know what law would be implicated. So, bad idea.
Bill?
I thought that there was a recording system in the White House for, like, official meetings and all that.
I thought so, too.
That those records, if they're not classified, get turned over to the National Archives and Records Administration.
I thought so, too. Christine?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. I believe that official meetings are tape recorded, but I don't know about the status of the unofficial meetings.
It had to be an official meeting with Comey, right?
So the point is, if there's a recording, everyone knows they're being recorded. If that's right, then what's the problem?
No, they don't know. We don't know if they don't know.
All right.
But it is illegal, one. Two, Trump may not have realized it when he tweeted this out at 6 a.m. in his bathrobe, but that's potential evidence. That's potential evidence that could be retrieved by a subpoena. Three, Trump's own business associates said in the media this week that he has a history of recording people.
Doing that.
Yes, a history.
So if it turns out that there are 17 minutes missing on those tapes, then I will make the point that there is a connection to Watergate. Now, Michael, during the break, you shocked some people when you were making a case that you think the FBI should be disbanded.
I was hypothesizing, and I started by talking about the CIA. It was created in 1948 to wage the Cold War, and we won. We don't want to have a situation where the intelligence services of our country are basically intervening in politics and selecting our leaders. We also have a history in the CIA the FBI of some very abusive behavior over the decades by the FBI. We should not be simply saying it's the FBI, they're always wonderful. No doubt most of the people in the FBI are great. Could we have some of the functions of the FBI, for example, the counterintelligence versus the criminal investigation side, be separated into separate agencies? We shouldn't take these things as that they have to always be the way they've been because we're used to them. There was a big uproar against creating the FBI in the first place, for example.
And I guess the FBI's primary job, they're the lead agency for investigations of terrorism because terrorism is obviously a crime,
it's domestic.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a really important thing for me, and that includes cyber because cyber isn't just about preventing the attacks, but it's investigating the sort of criminal elements to what those attacks are and putting a case together.
And cyber was the big story last week. I mean, we're talking about Comey because this is a political show.
It's a big story. It's a big sub-story
this week and next week.
I'm expecting that there'll probably be another sort of large-scale brute force attack like that ransomware thing that happened. And I think you need the FBI to be able to manage the investigations of those things.
You are a critic of the president. You've been on this program for a long time being critical of Donald Trump during the run-up to the presidency or the election. What do you hope happens with Donald Trump?
One that is completely delusional on my part, and that's that he takes counsel from people. That's never going to happen. But the other is that he hires people that are competent and lets them do their job without sort of unnecessarily micromanaging or intervening.
Do you think he has done that in the national security troika that he has?
Well,
with defense and McMaster and Kelly?
That's a big story.
Until we see Tillerson, I think you're going to see some problems in state.
And there's vacancies in state.
There's vacancies there, and
there's a story with him and McMaster is that there's growing fissures between Trump is not liking being lectured to, being told what to do. It comes down to
by
Trump's
McMaster.
By McMaster, yes. who quite frankly, he should be. He should be listening to a guy like McMaster, but it just comes down to Trump's fragile ego, and it's just thin-skinned pettiness. Yep. That he can't stand that someone else knows more about something than him, gut reaction on something.
And General McMaster.
Do you think he listens to Mike Pence, or do you think that Mike Pence
I do, because I think and this is a big reason why he picked Pence, is because he sees him as an authentic conservative who's got his hand on the pulse. is a creature of Washington. I think he can channel a lot of the Beltway, the Heartland, through Mike Pence, because Mike Pence, what you see is what you get. And so I think Donald Trump sees Mike Pence as his kind of connection to reality.
Then why does he not follow the suggestion of Mike Pence, if you say he was an author of this narrative or one of those that weighed in on the narrative? Why didn't he listen? Why does he send them out for three days, Bruce, to look foolish?
In this permanent wagon circle that we're seeing, this unending wagon circle, Trump just freaked out, just didn't like the coverage, and blamed it on someone like Spicer hiding in the bushes, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That must have been them. It must have been them that we've got this bad coverage, because if it was me, I would have gotten the story out.
Right.
Christine. At the end of the day, Trump is so undisciplined. He's never been a disciplined speaker. And so it's not surprising at all that he went against his own narrative. I mean, that was drafted by himself and his three other aides right there on live TV. He does that all the time. Why are we surprised by this?
Doesn't he have the ability to completely change the subject when he goes on this upcoming foreign trip where it's being billed as a significant trip? I mean, it seems to me that you can totally change the news for about 5 or 6 days, Michael.
The president always has the option of acting unilaterally in the foreign sphere and the military sphere, and it's the button they always want to press because it's easier. You know, in that sense, politically, to change the subject. You get pictured with the Prime Minister of Britain and you look important.
Craig in Chicago, listening to us on WCGO, our flagship station. Nice to hear from you, Craig. Go ahead.
Hi. When it came my time to vote, I left the presidential part of the ballot blank. And I was happier that Mrs. Clinton lost than I was that Mr. Trump won, because I thought she was incompetent. And here's the thing. Mrs. Clinton won the popular vote. If the Russians had so much influence in the election, they didn't influence me. They didn't influence the people that I talked to. I don't see it. To me, it's a total non-issue.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I disagree, Chris. Thoroughly. 17 intelligence agencies said that the Russians' fingers were deep into this election.
How?
Deep.
Yeah, but how?
Hold on.
What did they change?
What specific thing did they do? Hold on.
It's less important for the Russians to work hard and try and change an outcome of the election.
Exactly.
So much as it is to embarrass and undermine our election process. And that's exactly what happened.
I don't think they're trying
to discredit the Democratic process.
They didn't hack into election systems.
Hacking into the Democrats,
which is what Nancy Pelosi wants everybody to think happened.
And the fake news? The mere instance
that a foreign power was involved.
Well, it happens all the time. Everybody does it.
Obama's elections.
Well, mission accomplished.
Right.
We're talking about it.
They're involved.
The fake news.
But here's the point.
Of course they were involved. Everybody's involved. Everyone's trying to hack in.
But first of all, it should not be news that the Russians have tried to influence elections all over the world for the last 40 years. That should not be surprising to anybody.
Correct.
So it would seem to me that if you're running a presidential campaign, you take serious the cyber responsibility you have to protect the secrets of the Democratic Party. They didn't do it. The Republicans did do it. So wait a minute. How do we know the Republicans did?
There were no attacks on the Republicans.
Why?
None.
Because they were better prepared.
Because they were better prepared. I don't believe that.
No, I don't think that's right.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I don't believe that they're better prepared. I don't believe that the Democrats...
Because Potus's password was password, okay? The guy's ahead of the DNC and his password was P*.
I realize.
Imbecile in their basement could have hacked John Podesta's account. That's embarrassing. The Republicans had apparently professionally competent advice about how to not be easily hacked.
Chris, everybody, all the crap hits the fan with Hillary Clinton. Okay, all the voters, they get all that information. They know exactly what's in all the emails that are out there. That dominates news for the last several weeks. Without question, it dominated the news. Could that have affected some people? Yes. Did it affect more people than, let's say, Pussygate? Let me just finish. All the news. Who got more coverage? Donald Trump's comments with Billy Bush. Did that get more media coverage than the emails on Hillary Clinton? What do you think? I'll tell you what it is. It's almost 10 to 1. The Donald Trump, Billy Bush, Hollywood, Access Hollywood thing, that got 10 times more publicity. So I would argue that Donald Trump may have lost more votes because of that than Hillary Clinton lost because of the leakage of the
nobody
leaks.
Knows who
and that's
John
pure
Podesta
speculation
is
on my part.
Yeah.
We can't prove that.
I don't even know what. Hold on.
So I would say,
hold on.
Did the Russians release the Access Hollywood? Were the Russians involved in that?
Why is
that disrespected? Someone running for president of the
United
States?
The Russians are doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. Why didn't this happen in 2012, 2008?
I'm sure it did.
They weren't as good at it.
Who knows?
No, they probably tried.
The DNC chair was uniquely incompetent.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The DNC chair was uniquely incompetent.
I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's head to Poland, Ohio, where Kathy's listening to us on WKB. A nice to hear from Poland tonight. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi. Yes, I listen to your program quite often. Probably every Sunday. But there's a couple of comments that were made. The one comment that was made about, Hillary Clinton being incompetent. Okay, no one's perfect. She's not perfect. But she certainly is more competent, I feel, than what I see right now. In these 100-and-some days, we had a travel ban that caused so much chaos and concern all over the world. We've had the firing of Comey in the wake of a investigation. We had Obama being accused of wiretapping his Trump Tower.
Right.
We were more interested in Nordstrom, more interested and, you know, things that are just ridiculous. Schwarzenegger and The Apprentice. And, you know, these types of things, it really scares me because we have very sensitive issues in this country right now.
Yes, we do.
And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, these people need to come together. And what they have to think about, what can we do to make this country better than what's happening right now? You know, this fighting about, you know, the Republicans said this, the Democrats said this. I mean, you know, I taught school. They act like little kids on the playground,
yes,
honestly, from what I hear. And I mean, if they can't sit down like educated people and say, what's right and what's wrong? Let's not worry about who's a Democrat. Let's not protect somebody that's a Democrat, you know, that did something wrong and vice versa. If something is wrong, you want to get to the bottom of it.
I agree.
And the thing that really upset me and really scares me is when a president, in the midst of a very serious investigation, after all his praises of Comey and the different stories that came out while he fired him, they couldn't get that straight.
Right.
I mean, it's complete chaos there. I mean, I could get my high school students there to run it better than what's going on over there.
It is, as we discussed earlier, it is, I think everybody would agree, it is a management issue. It isn't exclusively a management issue. People, they question the message as well. But in this particular case, it's just incompetence in the way this was handled.
Kathy from Poland, Ohio is spot on.
But I also think that you have a person there that is way over his head. He is incompetent. He listens to the last person he talks to,
yep,
and then goes that way. 10 minutes later, he changed his mind. It's like the man is, you know, I don't want to say anybody's unstable. I'm not a psychiatrist. But, you know, I have three graduate degrees and a psychology degree. And I'm looking at all this. And I'm frightened to death because we have North Korea.
Right.
You know, we got a maniac over there. We've got all these serious issues in this country. And we are going on with this kind of stuff where this country is not being taken care of properly.
Kathy for president.
Kathy, we're going to move on. Thank you very much for your very articulate call.
Yeah.
We're going to go from Poland to Portland, Oregon. Mark is listening to us on WUFO. Go ahead, Mark.
We're comparing competency. That guy should have referenced Hillary as crooked instead. But anyway, my call is regarding questioning the fact that if Russia was indeed behind trying to make Hillary look bad and discredit the Democrat Party, who's to say that they weren't trying to? Why does everybody think that they were trying to do it to help Trump? Because, as you know, as we're all aware, nobody gave Trump a chance. You know, the left knew he wouldn't win. The news media knew he wouldn't win. Basically, the world knew he had no chance.
Trump himself, even.
I thought there was a notion out there that the Russians were trying to wound Hillary,
yeah,
make her look as bad as possible,
right,
knowing that she would eventually become president. And that way, they would be able to manipulate her, if not blackmail her.
Wait a minute.
Just especially with all the decades of past history she's had, God knows what dirt that they've collected over the years on her. Trump was never meant to win. He was pictured out of the picture, and I think that Hillary was expected to win. She's had more ties with Russia. Podesta's had ties with Russia. There's more there to manipulate with Hillary as president. So I think they were just trying to just kind of wound her ever so slightly, knowing that she'd become president.
And here's what I would disagree with. I think the longer game is to generate uncertainty about our process and have people in this country doubting the integrity of the process and drive our participation in the process down and weaken us. That's if I'm the Russians, that's what I want to do.
Philip, why are you letting the Democratic Party do that? The Democratic Party is delegitimizing Donald Trump. They cannot let go that the people voted. They voted for Donald Trump, not the popular vote, the Electoral College. It's over. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Why is it that the Democrats consistently are playing into the hands of the Russians who want to destabilize our democracy? That's exactly what they're doing. Chuck Schumer, he may be taking his orders from the Kremlin. You ever think of that?
Can I make one more comment?
Yes.
As far as collusion, who else in the realm of politics right now that we're talking about so much that's done more damage to Hillary, too? Is it Mr. Comey? Maybe he's our Russian agent.
Maybe there's your collusion.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You don't get that discussion on Meet the Press. James Comey is the agent. What about that? Just a thought. Do you want anybody with a quick comment on that?
For Kathy in Poland, this is important.
She's very good.
She was very, very good. But, you know, if you're the best brand in Democratic politics and you lose twice, that smells like incompetence to me. And then the thing I'll say about the last caller is, should Russia pay a price for what it did. How come no one's talking about
that?
Well,
you know what?
Because everybody does it.
The next time you're on this show, the next time you're on this show, I want you to lay down and tell everybody what the price is. Do we drop the bomb buster in Moscow? What do we do with them? What are we going to do? What did President Obama do when we had the cyber attack?
Yes, we do. Drive down petroleum prices by pumping in the USA and hurting the Russians.
We're out of time. Our thanks. Good night, everybody, from Chicago.